Hey, what's up? It's Avery here. Well, I guess who else would it be? It is my own show. You see, my show is on platforms like iTunes and Spotify, and you may wonder, how do I get my show on these platforms? Well, I do it through an app called Anchor. It's free to download, and you can use it on your phone or on your laptop. And it also comes with creation tools that let you edit your show. You can also make that sweet moolah with your podcast with no minimum listenership. So, want to get started? Download the Anchor app on the Google Play Store or Apple's App Store, or go to anchor.fm. It's that easy. Yo, 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 what is up, what is up, what is up? Welcome back to Avery Sports Show. For those of you who know me over the past couple of years, I've become a huge supporter of Rugby League. I've covered the Toronto Wolfpack, and I want to have on somebody else whose passion for the game is just like mine, from the Rugby League in America podcast, Nate G. Nate, how you doing today, buddy? Welcome to the show.
I'm well, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. So first things first, I got to ask you, you know, in North America, we're a culture of watching sports like basketball, hockey, baseball, soccer. So how'd you get into Rugby League, which is not really even the more popular code of rugby in this continent?
Yeah, no, it's kind of funny. I'm just like you. Like, you know, I obviously grew up basketball, football, baseball, soccer, hockey, anything you can watch, you know, I'd watch and love it all. And big fan of it. But the one thing that you don't usually get growing up is rugby or rugby league, especially rugby league. And I got to be honest, man, it's one of the things that I think everyone, it would be amazing if we could all grow up with it. And the fact that Toronto's here now is awesome. The fact that we can get the NRL games and Super League, I'm like you. I love to find those different sports, and rugby league is a distant for me at this point. And it's great to add it to all the sports we get to watch here in North America.
No, of course. I know now I mentioned your podcast, and one thing with your podcast is that listening to you, you're big on not just talking about the stories in the Super League in England or NRL in Australia. You're big on talking about rugby league teams that are here in North America, because people may not know that the governing body of the U.S. has their own competition where there's teams in Philadelphia, Jacksonville. What does it mean to also promote with your podcast those teams who are playing rugby league in America?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it's funny. Yeah, like when I started this, the whole purpose of this was honestly for the guys in the local league. And I thought, you know, this would be kind of a fun way. But, you know, I mean, you're talking about a couple hundred guys, you know, and I figured, well, I said a couple hundred, a little bit more. But either way, I thought this would be a fun way. You know, the guys play the game, they busted ball all week at practice, they busted ball all weekend, and it's a domestic comp. And why not talk about it, have a little fun, and I'll throw in some other stuff every now and then. But for the most part, that's who I'll talk about. And I found out real quick that as soon as I started talking about it, other people around the world were actually interested in what was going on here in the United States and Canada and all around North America and just the Americas in general. So it kind of grew really quick to be more of a, hey, I'm kind of giving information to the whole world. And I was kind of shocked by that many people cared. So now at this point, like that's kind of what I do with it. And I mean, I talk about the game from all over the world because apparently people find it interesting that somebody that sounds like me and you can actually talk about the game. But at the same time, they just really care about what we're doing. They care about what's going on in Edmonton. They care about what's going on in Vancouver, what's going on in, you know, in like Ontario Rugby League. And they care about Toronto and everywhere, you know, Jacksonville, everywhere in between. They care about all those cities. And they care about what's going on in South America. And it's just it's kind of crazy how the rest of the world, the rugby league world, really is fascinated by what's going on in our little section of the world.
No, of course, I couldn't agree more. And you mentioned how these different parts of the world, what was it like seeing not just this game grow in, of course, the usual regions of England, Australia, but seeing that game now grow in South America? You now have Jamaica qualifying for the World Cup in 2021, and you now have more cities than across Canada trying to get into this game now.
I think it is a gigantic part of the future of the sport. And I know that probably sounds a little arrogant, right? It's like one of the North American people thinking that there's a key. Well, you know, it's like population. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, from the standpoint of population, like, it's a big deal that we're a part of it. I mean, we offer a lot of human beings that can watch the game, cheer, buy apparel, and play the game, and become coaches and fans and everything else. So from a sheer numbers standpoint, it's a big deal to have this amount of people that live in, you know, because you know this, man, Canadians, Americans, we're sports mad. Like,
yeah.
We love our sport. We're fanatical about it. And then you had South America. South America is they're very passionate about their sports as well. And you see Americas in general, but even South, just Latin America. But what they also they bring a ton of passion to the game, the way they play, the way that they see the world and the way that they, you know, interact and everything else. So you have all those different flavors, you know, those different, you know, concoctions you can come up with. You add those, and it's something that's exciting, something that's a lot of fun. And then you look at Jamaica. Jamaica, to me, is the, I mean, it's kind of crazy. I said something about it not too long ago on a podcast. They were, or I think I did it maybe on Facebook Live. Either way, they have become benchmarks amongst all of us, and that's a good thing. And I mean that in the standpoint of, you know, I would love if in 2019 America, you know, if we qualify, if the United States qualifies, that'd be incredible. And I hope that in, you know, 2025 for that World Cup, I hope Canada, Jamaica, and America all find their way in, and Chile, and all the other countries. I mean, I want it to be a competition where every single 4 years, you don't know who that representative is going to be because they're all so competitive. And if you look at Jamaica, like, if you had looked at them before 2017 World Cup, you'd be like, oh, that's a really neat concept that they've got rugby league. Now, if you look at them, they've got a ton of women registered. They've got a ton of youth registered. They've got a ton of men. They've got it in college rugby. They've got it in youth rugby. They've got their men's team. They've got it everywhere. They've got it in, it's in like their defense forces and their police force and all these other ones. And they play at nines format a lot of times. They turn that island into a rugby league hotbed, and they're going to be in the World Cup. They're going to be waving their flag and playing their style of game. And I love their style of the game. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's going to be a big step forward for the Americans.
Yeah, it really will be. And I know this, and with Jamaica, they have some alumni backing of former Super League players. And Alex Simmons, the who hosts a TV show, Rugby AM, is involved with that program. How big is it to see alumni and big names in rugby league get involved with Jamaica now?
Yeah, it is. It's huge. You know, the heritage players, it plays a big part. And that's one of those things. So, you know, it's funny because in certain pockets, people don't like the heritage players. They're like, oh, we don't like that. It's not the locals that are growing it. Well,
yeah.
You know, the realistic answer is, well, it's, in my mind, it's kind of a twofold thing, right? So on one side, it's, well, you know, if you don't invest, you're never going to get anything back. So if they don't come over here and teach us the game, we're never going to learn the game to be able to play it. It's just not going to happen. So you have to have those players from other countries. When it comes to the heritage, I guess other countries, maybe they see it differently, but I feel like Canada and I feel like the United States, it's just kind of ingrained in us, like the heritage. We're all from somewhere else.
True, you're right.
we're all from somewhere else. So it's like, the heritage-wise, we've come from somewhere else, so we're all heritage players in a weird sense. But I think our two countries, especially, they embody the epitome of heritage players, and it's, you know, show from everywhere. I mean, like, if you look at the, you know, talking about Jamaica, a great example, Romeo Monteith, he runs Jamaica Rugby League, and he's got some incredible men and women that are helping him. But he's the face of it, if you will. He's the guy that's been there since the beginning. He's got family. His family lives in Canada. He's got family in Canada, and that's ties in Jamaica, ties in America, ties in Canada, and so, you know, that again shows like the heritage player and the importance of it, and how it can continue to make the game grow.
Yeah, of course. You know, one thing too with the game growing is that is, of course, there's been over the couple of years, there's been pushback on social media and in the game. To me, it's just so frustrating to hear that there's been pushback against having a New York City team enter English competition, because I don't know why you would say no to having a base of over 5 million people get involved in the game, because I don't see the harm is in doing that when you already have Toronto in the English system already, Nate.
Because Royce is terrifying to people. That's the honest guy. I mean, that's not to be negative or try to, you know, belittle anybody or anything else. But the honest answer, you don't change. If you don't do anything else, if you just keep it a status quo, it's a lot easier for you to accept. And that's everything in life, right? But if you look at the sport, the back, or I guess the punishment of that is that if you don't grow, then you start to regress, and that's what's going to happen if they don't look at that. And what happens is, I get it, like, I really do. I guess I'm empathetic or sympathetic or whatever you want to say to them, in the sense of, I understand, like, if you're somebody that lives and you cheer for a team like, you know, maybe Swinton, and that's not to pick on Swinton, but if you're in Swinton, England, and you don't really care what's going on in Toronto, you don't care what's going on in New York City when it comes to rugby league, because you're not at that level. You're like, I'm never going to be in Super League. I don't care. So I understand it. I can respect the concept of, I don't really care if the game grows bigger, because this is what I care about. But the owners should, not the fans. The fans, I kind of understand. The owners, people that run the game, they should look at the game and understand that it's got to grow. And if it's not, you know, if you're not growing, you're shrinking kind of concept. The sports market in the entire world, it will swallow you whole if you don't keep moving with it. And that's business or anything else, or just life in general. But, I mean, that's the honest answer. They're scared that the game is going to, like, not be what they want it to be. But if they look at what it is currently, it's not even what it used to be. The game was, I mean, so for those of you who are listening that may not know the snippet of history, is that it really, what it comes down to is, there's a bunch of, for lack of a better term, there's a bunch of poor people that worked in factories, that worked in all these other places, like most of us that are in this business of podcasting, yeah, or in this business of listening to podcasts or anything else. We work for a living. Hmm. If we didn't get a paycheck, we wouldn't be able to eat and we wouldn't be able to survive. Like, that's just pretty much the majority of the world. And the game came from that. The game came from hardworking, factory workers who decided, hey, I want to play this game, but, like, I can't always afford it, and I may get hurt. So they decided to raise a little money and make a couple dollars. And really wealthy, highly educated people didn't like that. And they decided they didn't want to be part of the game. Rugby league broke away. They became their own version of it, and that's what the game is played. I mean, that's where the game started. The game realistically started by a bunch of people that were, like, entrepreneurs and just decided, like, hey, enough is enough. We're going to grow this thing and just make it our own. And it did. And I think at this point, some places, not all places over in England, but some places are just still kind of, like, worried about that. They're worried about the game growing beyond that. And they've kind of forgotten their own roots. I think if they get back to the roots, they'll realize they're a bunch of freaking rebels. And they're going to make the game grow again if they just get excited about the way that they used to do it.
I agree entirely. It's a fortune, because not just in England was the idea of New York having troubles. Now, I probably know, of course, the plan for NRL to have a game in Los Angeles or somewhere else in California got scrapped as well, too. And that could be a major NRL. It may not happen now until next year or in 2 years now.
Yeah, and I really hope it does happen. You know, one of the things that I think, I think what happens in both places, and, and of course, I was a big fan, and I wanted to see New York happen, and I was really excited, because I was actually going to be the media, a media person that was going to have access to watch Australia versus Tonga play in New York in that qualifier, in that event. That would have been amazing. If that had happened in California, that would have been incredible. And the Rabbitohs still want to come over here. You know, I talked to Shane Richardson, the general manager, had him on the show. They still want to. But I think one of the things that happens is, when you think of those two places, you just talked about two of the biggest sports media markets in the world, but you also talked about two of the most expensive sports media markets in the world.
True.
And I think that they can look at bringing the game somewhere else. You know, I think the game could come to Atlanta, Georgia. It could go to Toronto. It could go to Vancouver. Right? It could go all over the place. It could go to insert whatever, Portland, somewhere in Texas, maybe San Antonio. There's a ton of markets. There's a ton of places the game could go, and you can play these one-off games. They don't have to necessarily be in rugby league hotbeds. They could be. They could go to Philadelphia. They could go to Jacksonville. They could go to New York. But you can put these in a ton of different places. Jacksonville being one of them, even Tampa. But you can put them in a different place that doesn't have a contact sport, that doesn't have an outdoor sport or anything else going at that time, that isn't as expensive, and you could get around it. One of the concepts that I think would work, and this is just me, I don't have to pay for it, so of course I can just say it, I don't have to back it up, but I do, and I think it's important to say that out loud so that I'm not bashing on teams and understand that it's just a concept that I think would work. But I think if the NRL in England, if they looked at Jacksonville, and I use that as an example because it doesn't have football, so preseason for these teams, January, February timeframe kicks off. you could have essentially like spring training baseball, where they go down to Florida, they go down to Arizona. You could have this camp, a 2-week camp, where all these different clubs could get together. They could train in a place like Jacksonville, where they're not competing with any professional sports whatsoever. So all of the locals would be hungry to see something. They could go to practices. They could have their version of spring training for 2 weeks, where it's a game on a Wednesday and a game on a Saturday, and you know, a game the following Wednesday and you know, a game the following Saturday. You could put 3 or 4 scrimmage games in there, you know, preseason games, for lack of a better term, that we would call them, and you could really get behind it, and you could build an entire section of one of these countries where they are just diehard rugby league fans, and you're going to get an excessive amount of apparel sales. You're going to get an excessive amount of, you know, people that want to buy the NRL, watch NRL app, people that want to just do whatever. They want to follow, they want to buy books, and they want to buy hats, and they want to buy everything. I think that's one of those things that you could do, and you got to spend money to make money, but it's a place they can put the game, and they can really try to grow it. Now, you got as an example, just because the weather's nice and they don't compete that time of year, but it could be other places.
Could be, really could be. And I'm going from, I want to talk to you about a couple of games that happened. I know, being someone who's covered Toronto, being someone who's flown to Toronto to cover the Wolfpack, they're a team that, you're in year 3 now, and they've had their highs, they've had a bit of their bumps, but now they're in the Bedford Championship for the second year, and they played 6 games, they're 5-1, and what are your thoughts on the fact that they were up on Toulouse, and ended up giving up 40 points unanswered? It was such a shock. It's unheard of for them to do.
it really is. They got caught butt naked in the streets when they got caught. It was just unbelievable. Like, it just didn't. It was just shy. Like, I didn't expect it. I don't think anybody expected it. I know they didn't expect it or it wouldn't have happened. I don't think that'll happen again. I really don't. I don't think Toronto has the kind of team that you can beat twice in 1 year like that. I just don't see it. I think what it did do was it filled me with a ton of excitement for the rest of the year for Toronto and for Toulouse. It really did. It made the year better for me. If Toulouse had beat them by just a couple points, I think it would have been, you know, it would have been frustrating for Toronto, but it would have been exciting for for everybody else. What it does do is Toronto, it's that loss out of the way, so they don't go into the rest of the year almost feeling like they're, you know, getting complacent, like they can't be beat. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. But to pretty much just get knocked out in front of your friends kind of concept. Like, none of us want to get beat up in the street in front of our friends. But, you know, but having said that, if you do, it humbles you. Well, I think that's what happened with Toronto, and it's going to make them incredibly hungry. It's unfortunate for the rest of the teams in the league, because I think the rest of them are going to get punished. But I think it's going to make for an exciting game. And it also tells us a lot about Toulouse, what they can do if they get rolling. And so I think it's going to be exciting, because it's going to come down to that final. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's going to come all the way down to that million-dollar game. It's going to be, I think the great part of that is it's going to turn into a really high-capacity crowd. You'll sell out one of these places wherever they play. I think it'll be a massive watch on TV, because it's a genuine, the story of the Toronto Wolfpack is, in my opinion, currently the most important, it is the most important storyline in the entirety of the game. If they make it to Super League, and then how do they perform in Super League, and how does the sport progress in Super League? The sport before them, to me, the biggest thing was Tonga. Would they be accepted on Australia's level? We're seeing that now, and I think that's going to be a big thing, and I think all of us can keep going. I think the number one story of 2019 is whether or not Toronto makes it to Super League. I just really think it is. It's going to be one of my upcoming episodes. It's going to be all about the importance of that, in my opinion. Of course, that's what it is. It's not like I'm an expert, but I'm somebody who talks. That's about it. But I mean, you know, I really think that if you're a Toronto Wolfpack fan, you are going to have a wild ride. And it's going to be a lot of fun for all of 2019.
With promotion now, last year you had the Super 8 format where you could have more than one team making it to Super League. But now it's been changed to just having one team get promoted, one team get sent down. What are your thoughts on that fact that now you have to win that final game of the year to make it? There's no more finishing in second or third.
So two things. One, I don't like promotion relegation. I think it's just such a foreign concept. I think it is for us in general over here. It is. Before I go any further and make anybody mad on that one, but I do think it's important to talk about it. But when it comes down to it, I love that only one team can go up and only one team can go down. That part, I love. I do not like the idea that, like, if I lose I shouldn't get rewarded with the exact same prize. Like, I just don't, I'm not a big fan of that. Like, I'm just like, I can't get my mind around that. Like, if I win, maybe I get, you know, maybe I get ice cream with sprinkles and you just get ice cream without it. You know, like, I mean, it's something like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's it. Because if not, I'd say, well, why do I even want to try it? I'm just going to show up, forfeit the game and still get there.
Right.
Like, it's the exact same result, and I don't like that. So proving that you're number one at something isn't a bad thing. It's not proving that the other person sucks. It's just proving that on that day you were better, and you worked hard all year, and you were rewarded for it. And that's exactly the you know, one versus, you know, one getting in and versus two getting in. I mean, a perfect example of that is if you have a bad year and you work really, really hard, but you're the two worst teams in the league, I mean, if you're dedicating yourself to the entire thing and it goes all the way to the end, no matter what happens in that game, you're going to lose and you're going to go down, like, that's insane. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. Going back to that, though, I think the NRL has that part figured out. I think most of our sports have it figured out, that promotion relegation it works in soccer, and people are like, oh, that's how we do it in soccer. Well, soccer is the biggest global sport in the world. It can do its own thing. I mean, even when it's doing its own thing, it's like the rich popular girl in school. Like, I mean, while she's in high school, she can get away with pretty much anything. When she gets out in the real world, it may not be the exact same, but it's the same kind of, like, soccer's pretty much like the rich fancy girl in school, you know, the popular one. That's what it is. It can kind of do its own thing, but the game of rugby league, if you have just set teams in Toronto, I genuinely believe needs to be one of those teams, and I think New York as well. But if you have that, you never have to worry about it, which means your fan base can constantly grow, and you can develop players. You can work on reserve teams if you want, grassroots levels. You can do all of these different things that you just can't do. You can only invest a certain amount if you're afraid you're going to go down, because then it's just not going to work as well.
You mentioned how you want to see Toronto hopefully make it Super League. Now you do have London there and Catalans. Those are two major markets who are not really traditional Super League teams, because I know Super League's been mainly kept to northern markets. But wasn't meant to see London be back in Super League and winning games. I know they won their first road game in Super League in quite some time recently.
Oh yeah, I am cheering hard for London. I mean, it's one of those things where I really didn't want to see them win over Toronto. And now that they did, I mean, I just didn't. But now that they're there and they're doing as well as they are, I really hope they stay there, and I hope that they build on it. And I hope that 5 years from now, London is a powerhouse. Because having London in Super League and having them doing well, and having Catalans and having Toulouse, mm-hmm. and having Toronto, that forces the game to be an international market game at a professional level. Like, my hope is that Toronto goes up this year, and then next year Toulouse goes up, and that they don't come back down. And I don't mean that mean, but I mean, I just don't care. Like, I it's more important to me to see, and I hate to say this because it sounds like I'm picking on other teams, and I'm not. I really want to see them all succeed. I'd love to see it expand to a couple more teams, maybe, instead of what it is. But when it comes down to it, I think having the city of Toulouse, the city of Perpignan, where I believe that's where Catalans is, having London and having Toronto, that is so much more important for the game than having the club that pulls in 3,000 fans constantly in a place where it's never going to get more than about 3,000 fans. Like, that's just not professional numbers. It's not. London does not get many right now. Right now, the numbers are paltry, but they won't be. Like, and that's, they keep doing good. Like, they'll continue to get better, and they'll continue to attract bigger crowds.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. And for Nate, last question for you, Nate. I watched your stuff on Twitter, and I'm going to ask you, how many jerseys do you have? I think you have almost every jersey in rugby world in your closet. I've seen you have hundreds of jerseys. Like, how do you get these jerseys, being a North American, all these European jerseys?
You know what? I don't know. I need to count those. That's really funny. That's actually, you know, you're the first person that's actually asked that, and I don't know, and I can't believe that I don't know how many I have. I know I keep buying more, and people keep sending stuff to me. That's the other thing. People send me hats. People send me programs. People send me T-shirts, and they send me, there's other jerseys that I don't even have hanging yet, because I'm going to be moving to a different house soon, so it's like, oh, I got to put got to put everything together again. That's what I'm really going to dig all up. Look at it. I've got posters. I've got a frame. I mean, I just got all this stuff. I've been very fortunate that people have gotten behind and sent me some of this stuff, including also me buying it. That's a really good question. I don't know. I need to get that answer. You think I know that, but I don't. I will tell you this. There's a bunch of people out there. There's a guy that's on Instagram. I know he is. And he is, it's like a rugby league jersey nerd kind of thing. And that's like kind of I wish I could remember his name exactly, but he's got so many jerseys, it's not even funny. But there's another guy, Mike Simpson, that he follows me, and that's a really cool, like, so he writes articles on my website. You put them on his, and then I put them up on the blog, up on the rlamerica.com. But he does it, it's like a British and international fans on Facebook. And Mike has an entire house loaded down with rugby league gear, apparel, memorabilia, programs, jerseys, I mean, anything you can imagine, to the point that we had a conversation, and it's like, his goal is to open up a museum in Brisbane for rugby league, like for everything Queensland.
That's cool.
And he has got, man, it's nuts. He has got stuff from all over the world, from the 40s and 50s, and it's unbelievable the stuff he has. It's shocking. So I'm going to go down to Australia this year, and the thing that I'm maybe most looking forward to more than anything else is going to his house and seeing everything that he has.
Now, that would be so, so cool to do that. And Nate, before I let you go, I'll let you plug. Where can you find your podcast?
I'll say this, man. It means a lot to me that you actually, like, that you want to take the time to have this conversation. Like, it really does. Thank you very much for following along. And I love what you're doing, too, man. Your vibe, man, your positive attitude, that's a big deal to me because I try to have the same thing. So, yeah, I mean, you can find me. I do have rlamerica.com. I haven't developed that website as much as I should, and I'll continue to get better at that. That's not my wheelhouse, but you can find me on iTunes, and you can find me on SoundCloud. At the moment, I need to up that game as well, but you can find me at the Rugby League in America podcast. And then, you know, you can find me. I'm on Facebook. I do Facebook Lives every now and then, and that's the Rugby League in America podcast page, RLA podcast on Instagram and podcast RLA on Twitter. My Twitter game is not as good as it should be. I got to make it better. I just don't think my brain is as crafty with my thumbs as it is with my mouth, I guess. I don't know. I'm just not as good with it yet, but I'm getting there. I'm trying.
Nate, I got to thank you so much for doing the podcast, and hopefully we can do it again someday with me maybe down in DC with you.
Oh man, that'd be great. I love that, man. That's one of the things I really want. I really want to end up, and obviously I want to travel and meet people, but I would love to have, that would be my goal, man. Like, my ultimate goal is to have a studio where I can have people just show up and have an extra room in my house where people just show up and they can be on vacation afterwards, so they can just come and be a part of the show and then have a free place to stay and then go enjoy, you know, wherever I'm at. But, yeah, man, that's one of those long-term goals.
I really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Oh, yeah, man, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome, no problem.